your name, for who you are, and for what you are going to do in every life. Lord, we pray tonight,
you grant hope to everyone, healing for everyone, deliverance for everyone, and do, Lord, what your people are expecting you'll do for them without fail, in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You can sit down. I want to encourage you that there is hope for everyone in any situation tonight, in Jesus' name. We're talking about hope, we're talking about faith, we're talking about expectation from the Lord. Christ has provided everything you need for your spirit, for your soul, for your body. The Lord himself, who promises to be with us, is here tonight, and he will touch your life. It will solve your problem. It will heal your sickness. It will forgive all sin. And it will transform every life, even tonight, in Jesus' name. And we're looking tonight at a glorious hope. How? Through the gracious salvation. Because Christ has come, he provides salvation for us, which is by grace. And then through that, we have the glorious hope. Whatever we expect in our lives, hope and expectation are interchangeably used many times. We expect, we hope. We're looking forward, we're hoping. And we know that what we hope for in the Lord, he will surely grant us. We're looking at Titus chapter 2, and I read from verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God, the goodness of God, the riches of the kingdom that brings salvation. It says it has appeared unto all men. If they have not heard, it's because we have not told them. And for you tonight, abundant grace has appeared for you. And everything we receive of the Lord, we receive by the grace of God. Let me move on to verse 13. In verse 13, it says in verse 13 that in that Christ, in the Lord, we have the glorious hope. The glorious hope that whatever it is we need, Calvary has provided everything. It says looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus. Combine those two things together. Salvation in verse 11 and the glorious hope in verse 13. When you bring them together, it says we have a glorious hope through the gracious salvation. Can I explain that word? Salvation. Salvation in the scriptures is not just the forgiveness of sin. It includes the transformation of life. It includes a change of life. Such a change you couldn't make yourself, you couldn't do for yourself. That's why it says in verse 12, I come back to verse 12, it says that grace is teaching us that denying all ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly. It is the grace of God that brings us to a reasonable life, a sober life, a sincere life, a transformed life. Because it says that grace of God has appeared unto all men. And when you receive that, when you get that, when you believe that, and it affects your life and transforms your life, that grace of God teaches us that denying all ungodliness and worldliness and the world and worldly laws, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That means in this present age, in this present generation, there are people that transfer the righteousness of God to the future. They transfer the transformation that God can do in every life. They transfer that to the future. But it says, in this present life, we can have that transformational grace of God in our lives. And tonight is that night when God will burst into your world. And when he does that, everything shakeable, everything changeable, everything that needs to be corrected in your life, everything will come through in Jesus' name. How did that happen? If you look at verse 14 there, it talks about the Christ, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And he tells us what he does. He says, who gave himself for us. When you think about it, he gave himself for you. He gave himself for me. So that what I tried, I couldn't do. I couldn't achieve. I couldn't make myself to see the victory that Christ wanted to see. And God wanted to see in my life. When Christ gave himself for us, it says that he might redeem us from all iniquity. You couldn't do that for yourself. You could learn methods and approaches and how can I get this done, get this done. You couldn't do that for yourself in 1,000 years, and you're not going to live 1,000 years there. But what you couldn't do for centuries and for millennia, Christ himself sacrificed himself on the cross of Calvary so that he will redeem you from all iniquity. Give me a good amen there. Amen. The people who are turning over a new leaf. And then if there are 100 kind of wrong things in their lives, they try by determination, they try by training, they try by discipline to overcome one this week. And then they overcome another month. And by the time they're overcoming number three, number one has come back into their lives. And you cannot redeem yourself or free yourself or deliver yourself from all iniquity. But there's one who can do it, and that one is here tonight. Because it says he redeemed us from all iniquity and to purify unto himself. The church needs to get back to the thing that Christ provided on the cross of Calvary. It's not just to make me happy. Yes, he wants to make me happy. It's not just to make me fulfill. Yes, he wants to make me fulfill. But the very thing he did, the major thing he did, is to purify me by his blood, to wash you so clean and wash you so pure that he purifies to himself a peculiar person, a peculiar believer, that your life is different, your life is incorruptible, because he gave himself for us that he might purify us to become peculiar people and zealous of good works. You know, somebody says, I want to do that good work. I want to be passionate about that. I want to be zealous about that. But there's something in me. It's like, you know, some dead wood is inside me. I just can't bring up myself. Yes, I agree with you. You cannot pull up yourself by your bootstraps. But when Christ comes in, and he's coming in tonight, he will do that you couldn't do for self, because he will purify unto himself a peculiar person, a peculiar believer, and you'll be zealous of good works. Amen.
Amen.
As we look at the glorious hope that we have in his gracious salvation, there are three things I'm looking at. Number one is, for all natural people, for the descendants of Adam and Eve, for the people who are human and they think that by themselves, this is what they will achieve. I'm talking, number one, the hopelessness of self-satisfaction without Christ. I've met a lot of people in my, short, brief life here on earth that are self-satisfied. They say they can do anything they determine to do, and they can achieve anything they want to achieve in life by their own effort, by their own strength. And I've seen all of them thinking they'll get to the skies, but they're in the valley. They're not just on the ground, they're in the valley, because they're the hopelessness of the self-satisfied, the people who think they'll do everything by themselves. There's no way you can do that. But when you come to Christ, there is hope in Christ. The hope of salvation, the hope of redemption, the hope of total transformation. And it can happen to you tonight. Number two, then, is our hope through salvation in Christ. Number three is the hopefulness of healing. Hopefulness of healing. And it will heal every part of your body. From your brain, to your blood, to your bones, to every part. It'll touch you tonight, and you can have hope in the Lord, because Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's still the same today as he was in days gone by, tonight is going to be a glorious night for you. If you have any challenge in any part of your body, you say, "Call upon me and I will answer you." It will answer you tonight. It will give you healing. It'll go beyond giving you healing. It'll give you health. It'll give you total, perfect wholeness in your life, even tonight, in Jesus' name. I've been in situations where they put me on the spot. I was having an interview on the BBC some years ago, and the lady interviewing me did not understand what's the miracle and what's healing. And so she put the question direct to me and said, "Pastor so and so, tell me, what's healing?" I said, divine healing, the healing by God, because you know healing comes through the medical practice and it's very good. But divine healing is when God touches your life immediately, instantaneously, and you're healed. I said, for example, if you are sick, and remember, we were on interview and it was being broadcast live. And I said, if you're sick right there, and I pray, and God heals you, I said, that is divine healing. And I said, any challenge? He said, oh, I have this problem here. And really, I didn't have to close my eyes. There's nothing that says, thou shalt close thine eyes every time you pray. We do, because we shut out all distractions. And because, in the interview, I was sitting here, and she was sitting across the table, and eyeball to eyeball, and I said, in the name of Jesus, with my eyes open and looking at her, I say, in the name of Jesus, sickness, go, be healed. And she said, oh, I'm healed. That's how it takes place. And for you tonight, it's coming your way. Number one is the hopelessness of the self-satisfied without Christ. The people who say, I can do anything, I can run any length, and I can climb any mountain, I can cross any sea, any ocean, I can achieve whatever. No, not whatever. At least you cannot get to heaven all by yourself. You don't even know the way. You've not been there before. And you do not know the requirement of God to get there. But Christ, who came from heaven to earth, so as to take people from earth to heaven, he says, give me your hand, I'll take you there. Tonight, you give him your heart, you give him your hand, he'll take you there. And we're look at this. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 12. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm looking at verse 12. It said that at that time, there are times of life. Time before Christ, time in Christ, and time with Christ in eternity. You divide time in that way. Time before Christ, when you were all alone by yourself and you thought, I could, I can, I will. Time before Christ. And then a time comes in your life when he says, I stand at the door of your heart and I'm knocking, and if anyone opens the heart, the door of the heart, I will come in. Another time then begins your life. And then the time comes when you have lived here on earth, you have walked with him, and now with him you will be in glory. I believe you'll be there. But the first section of time, at that time, before meeting Christ, you were without Christ, without Christ, without the benefits and the blessings that Christ has brought to us, without Calvary, without his sacrifice, without faith in him, without interaction, fellowship, and affection for him. He said you are without Christ, being aliens and foreigners to the commonwealth of Israel. All that God had promised Israel, forgiveness, all that he had promised Israel, a new heart, a new life. Ezekiel says, I'll sprinkle clean water upon you and ye shall be clean. And then he says, from all your filthiness, all your idols, will I cleanse you and you'll be clean. Then he said, and I will give you a new heart, that the commonwealth of Israel, that the promise he has given to Israel, and he is the promise keeper. But there's a time you didn't know anything of that. And he said, I'll take the stony heart out of your flesh and give you the heart of flesh. There was a time you didn't know anything about that. And he said, I will put my spirit within you and make you to walk and cause you to walk in my ways. He says, there was a time when you were a foreigner, an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. And it says, you are strangers from the covenants of promise, from the covenants of promise. You see the plural there. There is the healing covenant. If you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, he says, I'll put none of these diseases upon you. That the covenant of healing, you are a stranger to that. That the covenant that he will deliver you, he will redeem you and deliver you from all your enemies and make you to serve him in righteousness and holiness all the days of your life. What did you know about? You knew nothing about that at that time. When you are going through life, you didn't even know your need. So you were self-satisfied without Christ. And then it says, having no hope. You see that at the beginning, without Christ. Then over here, having no hope and without God in the world. Without God in the world, in a world ravaged by Satan, without God in that world, in the world that oppresses people, in a world that tried to squeeze life out of us, and you didn't have God. When we were living at that time, that first segment of life, self-satisfied but no salvation. Self-satisfied, but no forgiveness. Self-satisfied, but no hope of heaven. But thank God that first section of life is coming to an end. Because you connect with Christ. And when you connect with Christ, something new must happen. I didn't say will happen, must happen. And it will happen in your life. I can date it back myself. It was on the 5th of April, many years ago, 1964. I thought I was okay, self-satisfied. I thought I was good enough because all my classmates at that time, they will come to me. I was very, very religious. But, you know, there's a wide gap, a world of difference between being religious and being righteous. And I thought I was all right. My classmates, if they had any challenge spiritually, they'll come to me to pray for them. And I wasn't born again. And you know, the principal of my school thought I was one of the best students, and he was very happy to have me as a student. Then I passed out, they sponsored me to university eventually. But the point is, I didn't know the Lord. But this glorious day, that first section of my life ended. The first section of your life will end. A second level, a second section, a gracious section will happen in your life. And it was very, I didn't know it could be that simple. Now I've learned over the years, precious things are not complicated. Good things are not complicated. Just like that, I learned all I've seen. I know that. My personal experience, all I've seen, yes, I knew that. And that I could not save myself. I said, that's right, because I've tried and tried and tried, and I've promised, made resolutions upon resolution. If I did that again, I will punish myself. I did all that, but there was no change, that you could not save yourself. And there's only one, the only one in the whole wide world, only one in all generations of men, only one that can save me, that could save me. And I said, if that's so, and there's no alternative, I couldn't go here and get a salvation, go there, get a salvation, go other place and get a salvation. If this is the only one, then I said, I'm going to trust him. And he said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that whosoever, how that went into me, whosoever, that's my name right there. And that's your name right there. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And very simple, I just said, Jesus, come into my heart. I give myself to you. I couldn't remember, of course, all the sins I ever committed. Somebody would say, think about all the sins you ever committed. How could I? If you committed one sin one day, there are 365 days you commit 365 sins in a year. If you are now like 20 years of age, like 30 years of age, 40 years of age, you multiply 365 by 40 years, and they run into thousands. How could you remember everything? All I did was to bundle everything together. And I said, Lord, they are great. There are many. I can't even remember all of them. Forgive me. And just that one word, I had forgiveness. Do you know you had forgiveness? Did the pastor, the preacher tell you, shake your hands, you are born again? No, the preacher didn't have to tell me. The Spirit of God told me in my heart, at peace of God, I had assurance, all my sins were forgiven. And the second stage of my life began. After I gave my life to the Lord, and he entered into me. And there's a song, a little song that has never left me since then. I even still sang it yesterday or today. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Heavenly Father. And come in today and dwell there ever. Into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Holy Spirit. Come in to dwell there. Come in today and come in to stay and dwell there forever. Because it says, I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and it will be with you and abide with you forever. And I feel it in my soul. I see it in my life. And the things I couldn't do by myself before, now the grace of God has appeared to me. I believe that grace of God is working in my life. It will work in your life. I said it will work in your life. 1964, April, this is 2025, and I've never regretted I gave my life to the Lord. There are many decisions that, you know, people take in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, so regret that you took that decision. This decision, that Christ should come into my life and begin the second stage of my life, I have never regretted and enjoy it over and over again. You will enjoy the decision you are taking tonight. And if you have taken that decision already, but you're like so, and you are wobbling, you renew that decision tonight, you'll never regret in Jesus' name. I come to number two. Now, number two is the salvation, the hope through salvation in Christ. The hope we have, not a rotting hope, not a deceptive hope. The people that, yes, I have hope, and I say, what's the basis of your hope? The man is having a hope that doesn't have any foundation. He's having a hope that doesn't have any root, and any wind can blow. And when the wind blows, all the trees that don't have any root, all the hopes that do not have any root, they'll be swept away. But a hope that is built on Christ, a hope that is built on the foundation, like he said, upon this rock I build my church. And it is upon that rock you build your hope. And we have this hope of salvation in Christ, a lively hope, a heavenly hope, a great hope we have in the Lord. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it tells us there in verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're looking at verse 8 there. Look at what it says. But let us who are of the day. It's dividing people now into two parts. Those of the day and those of the night. Those who are in darkness and those who are in the light. Those who do not know Jesus as the light of their soul, the light of their life, the light of their present, the light of their future, and the light for their destiny. And those who do not know Christ as the light of their destiny, the light of the world, they are those who know him, and they are of the day, and they are of the light. And the sun of righteousness is always shining in their heart. And Paul the apostle, writing to the Thessalonian believers, says, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and then for an helmet the hope of salvation. Hope of salvation. Paul, were they not saved already? Yes, they were saved. Are you talking about the hope of salvation? There is a present salvation. You come to the Lord, you believe him is your Lord and Savior. You believe that should you die today, you are going to live with him forever and ever. Say good amen. Amen. Present salvation, you have assurance for that, because the word of God assures you, whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise for any reason cast him away. And as you come, you believe that, you have the salvation of the Lord. The Philippian jailer shouted out to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, to answer your question, what must you do? What are you thinking about? You do this. It's been done already. It's not a gospel of do. It's a gospel of done. It's done. Jesus paid it all. All you have to do now, Philippian jailer or any other person, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. There's a present salvation. There is a lifetime salvation. He's saving me. He's saving me. What do you mean by that? Temptations come, he saves me from that. Trials come, It saves me from that, and difficulties, challenges come that would have made me to turn back. But it's always there. It says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And it's saving me from all that. And then eventually, when you cross over, and Satan will not cross over with you, and temptation will not cross over with you, and all these challenges of the stormy life will not cross over with you, there is a final, perpetual, perfect, eternal salvation. You see, that's why it's talking now about the hope of that final salvation. And you cannot count two until you count one. You cannot count three until you count two. You must have, number one, the initial salvation, the present salvation, and then you have the salvation that continues, lifelong salvation. And before you can count number three, eternal salvation over there in glory. Have number one, number two will follow. Take the first step, and the second step will follow in Jesus' name. And it says, let us who are of the day be sober, be sincere, be plain, the transparent, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And then it says, for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Helmet, you know, in our nation, those who ride motorcycle, it's compulsory they put on an helmet. Why? Because if accident happened and they didn't have any helmet and they knocked their head on the concrete, that's dangerous and that could end their life. So they must strap the helmet over their head. You know, in life, we go through life and things happen that we didn't expect. But the helmet of salvation, that you are saved, the Lord will be walking around with you. He will give you a bodyguard of angels that they watch your steps, and you will not knock your foot upon the stone. And over here, on the one hand, you see 1,000 falling. On the other hand, you see 10,000 falling. Only with your eyes will you see them. Because you have made the Lord, even the God of heaven, your habitation. And he says, I will live in you. I will dwell in you. And then the angels will be like ministry spirits unto you. You have the helmet of salvation, and with that you go through life, your life will be secured in Jesus' name. And look at verse 9. This verse 9 is very important for me, for you, for all of us. It says, for God has not appointed us to wrath. When you are saved, he cancels the future judgment, the future punishment. And there shouldn't be any fear or concern. What if I died and then I go to be judged by God? No, when I behold you on the judgment throne, and I remember that Calvary has blotted out all my condemnation and all my sin, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. You hide yourself in him for all eternity. Remember, it's not your tears, it's not your work, because could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no respite? No, all these for sin cannot atone. Thou and thou alone must save. And thank God, when you have that salvation, you understand that God has not appointed you to wrath. Amen. Amen. It's like you know, Noah looking at the flood coming, and he was confident. Noah, you said the flood is coming, it's going to sweep everyone away. Are you not afraid? No, he said, look at the ark. Once I am inside that ark, I am saved forever. I said, I'm saved forever. And Lot, did you hear what the angel said? The angel said, this night the Lord is going to rain fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh yes, Lord, yes, I know that. And but do you know, God counted me special, that he sent angels, two of them, from heaven just to talk to me and get me out before the fire comes upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And before that deluge of judgment comes upon this world, he'll take you out of that place. Because he has not appointed you to wrath. Maybe you remember some things you did in the past, and something is happening now, and then a voice will whisper to you, serves you right. You know how bad you were? You know what terrible things you have done? That's why this one is coming now. If you accept that, you will be going through some real precious and real challenges that you cannot resolve. But you say, no, that's not right. That's just the devil. Whether you've done good or bad in the past or whatever, the devil will always be the devil. But while the devil is the devil, me, the believer, I'll be the believer. I said I'll be the believer. I'll not allow the devil to beat me to it. He's doing his work. He's doing what he has always planned to do. And I am doing mine. I'm standing on the promise of God that God has not appointed me to wrath, but to obtain salvation. To obtain salvation. Look at that word, obtain. There are two words that look similar. Obtain, attain. Attain is what you do by yourself. I got it. I sweated for it. I labored for it. I paid for it. I attained it. Salvation, you don't attain salvation. You don't sweat for salvation. You don't pay for salvation. But to obtain, what does that mean? I stretch out my hand. He puts it in my hand. I got it. You stretch for the hand of faith. He puts that salvation there. Thank God you got it. I can see it on your bright faces. Thank God you got it. I got it. I got it. To obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have. We have salvation in Christ. And the moment you say, he is mine, he says, I am yours too. And everything I did at Calvary, I put in your heart. I put in your life. And I obtain. I said, I obtain. And what God has given, what Christ has purchased and given you, nobody will take it from your hand. Look at number three here. Number three, we're looking at the hopefulness of healing for the sick by Christ. The hopefulness of healing. Hopefulness of healing. Hope. When you look at, the structure of the Bible, the first section of the Bible, that's Genesis to Deuteronomy, you see healing and health. He brought them out, and there was not one feeble person among them. Can you think about a nation, the nation of Israel? They had been a kind of slaves in bondage all these many years, and they were coming out. On the day they were coming out, you would have thought a nation that had been under oppression for centuries, and they were building all those things for Pharaoh, and they really oppressed them. Talk about balanced diet, nothing like that. And talk about the balance between work, labor, and rest, there was nothing like that. Talk about a good working condition, nothing like that. You would have expected that they were coming out, there'd be those who are lame, and those on wheelchair, and those who are blind, and those who are deaf, and partially deaf. You think of those who are paralyzed, but he brought all of them out, and there was not one feeble person among them. At the first section of the revelation of God, if it was that then, It should be that now. In your life and in your body. I come to the next section. The next section will be from Joshua until the end of the kings and the prophets. And you will check out by yourself. You'll find Caleb coming out and he's saying, I am 85 years now. As I was healthy, strong, 40 years ago, so I am now. And at 85, Caleb, when are you going to retire? Aren't you feeling some pain, sir? He said, no, give me this mountain. That period, look at that. And in that same period, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and pray and they turn unto the Lord, it says, I will hear from heaven. That section. And it says, I will forgive their sin, I will heal their land. The healing is available today. And you know, during that section of the kings is when Ezekiah became sick. So sick, he was about to die. And Isaiah came to him and said, set your house in order, because you will die and not live. And Isaiah Ezekiel processed that. Whatever you hear, you must process in your mind. Somebody just tells you something and then you just run with that. Don't run with it. You process it in your mind. And Ezekiel thought, a lot of projects I've not yet done, and something I'm expecting in my family and it has not come. I don't think I'm ready to go now. And he said, okay, sir, you can go your way. He turned his face to the wall. He said, God, what information am I hearing that I'm going to die? No, I'm not ready to die. Heal me. In that section of the Bible, God gave them what they wanted. I said, go back to that man and said, I cancel that death upon his life. And the Lord tells me to tell you that the dream of death and the thinking of death is canceled in Jesus' name. And so he gave him 15 more years to live. And then you come to the time of the Psalms and the prophets. And the Psalms said, they tell us, bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all that is within me. Why are you blessing the Lord? This is another period now, beyond the period of Ezekiah, the kings. And he said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. How many iniquities did he say forgive? All. So I don't have to go every Sunday back to church and what I already got forgiveness for last Sunday. And I say, God, forgive me. And he says, who is talking? Then they check their records and they see that all the sins you ever committed have been blotted out. Which one are you talking about again? Let's talk in line with the revelation of the Bible. When you are forgiven, you are forgiven. I said, you are forgiven. When you are saved, you are saved. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? And then it follows immediately, who healeth all thy diseases? All thy diseases. All thy diseases. You are forgiven. You are healed as you take hold of him. The last section of the Old Testament is the prophet, the major prophets and the minor prophets. And one of the major prophets is Jeremiah. Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17, I'm looking at verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14. Well, this verse is very important, but let me back up to the first line of verse 13. In verse 13, it says, O Lord, the hope of Israel. O Lord, the hope of Israel. What is the fulfillment of that hope of Israel? Come to verse 14 now. In verse 14, it says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Tonight, heal me, O Lord. What will happen? I notice, you know, sometimes when you have a word, when you have a sentence, you spread out like that. You have the first part, then there is parentheses, you know, in brackets there, and then you have the last part of the sentence over here. There is no excuse me, heal me, O Lord, no parentheses, no wall of demarcation, and I shall be healed. Heal me, O Lord, that's your request, and immediately the answer comes to you. I shall be healed. And then he says, save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Thou art my praise. You praise the Lord because the healing will come. And as you go through to the end of the Old Testament, it says he will arise like the sun with healing in his wings. And Malachi closes with that. You have some silence in 400 years. And here comes Jesus in Matthew. And as you open the, you know, gospel according to Saint Matthew, when the evening was come, they brought all the sick and all the lame and the demon possessed, and he healed them by his word. You come to chapter 12 verse 15 there, and he healed them all. You come to chapter 14 verse 14, 15 there, and he healed them all. And the conclusion is given that Jesus was anointed of the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Every village he went, every town he went, every synagogue he went about doing good and healing. And healing. And healing. Now, the word healing, I mean, the test is in the continuum, and healing, and healing. Yesterday, he healed. Today is healing. Healing. And this very day now, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, for you there. Amen. Your life there. He's still healing the sick. He went about, and Jesus said, anywhere we go, as he has commissioned us, he says, I will be with you until the end of the world. Did you know that before? Of course you did. And I'm here now. I've been in Nigeria, I've been in almost all the countries of Africa, I've gone beyond Africa, I've gone to India, I've gone to the Philippines, I've gone everywhere, and everywhere I go, according to his promise, not because of who I am, you could have that same experience too. I found Jesus always with me. And while I'm here in Australia, he's here. And he will confirm every word. Amen. He will answer every prayer. Amen. He will correct everything that is wrong with any mind. He will heal the sick because he went about. And because he changes not, he's still going about healing. How many people? All that were oppressed of who? Tell me. When you think God is your problem, you will not be able to pray to get rid of that problem. Some people say God works in mysterious ways. And this sickness they have, they say God knows that if they were not sick, they might be proud. They might do some funny things. So God, in his love, according to them, has given them this sickness. If you believe that God has given you that sickness, you cannot tell the same God who gave you the sickness as a gift to caution you, to help you, to put you in shape. Say, God, remove this sickness. No, you'll be praying for grace to bear the sickness. God loves me so much that he gave me this infirmity and this sickness. And all I can do is pray for grace to bear the sickness. But All those people that Jesus, can you think about that? In every city, in every synagogue, in every village, every street, everywhere, all those people, not one single person was given sickness by God. And God is the same. He has not changed. He said he went about doing good. Healing is doing good. I said healing is doing good. And healing all that were oppressed of, tell me, oppressed of the devil. That's actually what have been prophesied from Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. Thou shalt bruise his heel, and he will bruise your head, break your head. That is, Christ came to bruise and to break the head of the devil. And when he died on the cross of Calvary, he said, it is finished. My sorrows are finished. My sickness finished. My suffering finished. If it's finished at that time, why is somebody there sick today? The fellow God, he did the final exam, and then graciously he's been given the certificate that he passed the exam. But friend, you didn't go back for a certificate. Although you have got the certificate, you do not have the tangible, visible thing to show for it. Come, get your certificate of good health. Amen. You are well. Amen. Let the weak say, let the sick say, and what you confess with your mouth is what you possess in your body. Amen. The Lord has provided salvation, and the Lord has provided healing, and thank God it is yours tonight. Amen. Whatever healing, whatever deliverance, whatever miracle you need, the Lord will give you tonight. Amen. And you will give testimony. Amen. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen deaf ears unstopped. I've seen stammerers come to normal speaking. I've seen mentally deranged people change with chains and padlocks. I've seen them completely, instantaneously delivered as we mention the name of Jesus. I've seen those who've been barren for 20, 30, more than 40 years. I've seen God giving them miracle children. I've seen even, children that the parents, the teachers said, you are wasting money on them. They couldn't get anything, and the father brought three of them. I can still see it now in my mind's eye. And he said, shake the pastor's hand, shake the pastor's hand. And I said, they shook my hand. He said, thank you, pastor. I said, what's your request? He said, I'll come back and tell you. And just went away and went to put that child back to school. And that child, something happened like what happened to you tonight. Everything changed, and the boy became like third in the class, where they had written him up. If anybody has written you up, the Lord is picking up your life tonight. And I'll connect all the dots, and all the healing will come to you tonight. Where in Minnesota, USA, some years ago, there was a woman, a Korean woman, dying in the hospital. And we're talking of the love of God. And the nurse there took permission from the doctors to bring her. And she was put at the back of the hall. And so as we prayed, and each one have to go there and push her, touch her, whatever. And we mentioned the name of Jesus. Jesus acted according to what he had done at Calvary. Since he said it was finished, all you need to do is inform the people that are suffering, it is finished. By herself, she rose up. She began to walk. To cut a long story short, some people make a short story long, but I'll make the long story short. she was completely healed, and came to the front of the church auditorium and said, she was crying. She said, why will God heal me? She has never been in church. She has never met. She has never heard the name of Jesus. She didn't know any verse or promise in the Bible. And she says, so being so ignorant and a stranger to Christ and Christianity, why should God heal me? I said, it's not a miracle of merit, it's a miracle of mercy. And because of the mercy of God, your healing has come right now. I believe that. I accept that. I possess that. Let's rise up all together. There are two things: he forgives and then he heals. And the forgiveness, the salvation is available for everyone, anyone now. Whosoever, that's you, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Right there. He sees you there. He knows you there. He knows the desire of your heart. He knows your request. Forgiveness. Yes, he gives that now. Peace of mind. Yes, he gives that now. Removing all condemnation and guilt. He does that now. He looks at you as a person, and he deals with you like you will understand. Tell him, he forgives. And as he forgives you, I didn't say if he forgives you, because he does it. As he forgives you, there'll be peace in your heart. There's assurance. It cannot fail. It's got into you there. It's got into you there. I'm going to pray for you now, so you raise up your hand for his forgiveness, for his peace, for his restoration, for his salvation, and the fullness of his grace in your life. You send that peace coming to your heart right now. You send the assurance coming to you right there, right now. Father, we thank you. We express our love and gratitude unto you, because you are a good God. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be forgiven, will be saved, will be redeemed, will be turned around, will be transformed. I pray that your transforming grace, your saving grace, come to every life right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know you have answered the prayer of your precious people. Each is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Another amen. Amen. I'll continue now. Our national pastor will come later after we're through. Now, any sickness in your body, and you must identify it. Don't worry about, how will it happen, how will it not. That's not your area of responsibility. We will call the name of Jesus against that sickness in your body, and the Lord will take that sickness away. He will heal you. No matter how long it's been there, tonight, he will heal you. No matter what the experts have told you, but tonight, he will heal you. He will heal me. He will heal me. Tonight I am healed. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You raise up one hand and you lay the other hand where you have the challenge, knowing that your healing is right here now for you. Lay your hand where you have the challenge. If you don't know where you have the challenge, you can lay it upon your chest, upon your heart. At the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee of sickness, of infirmity, of deformity will bow. Father, we thank you because it's done already. Your love confirms it's done. Your provision at Calvary confirms it's done. The stripes laid on Christ for healing confirm it's done. And the faith we have in you confirms it's done. I pray for every one of your people here. Whatever the pain, take that pain away right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, whatever the name of the sickness, I pray you're our healer, you're our redeemer, you're our deliverer. I pray you touch them right now at that point of sickness and disease. Heal them in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that what they were not able to do before because of the limitations that the sickness, the disease had imposed on them, release them from that infirmity. Release them from that sickness. Release them from that disease. And I pray, Lord, they will be completely healed and free in Jesus' name. Any harassment and torment of the devil, and that is depression or demonic possession, I command that demonic attack stop right now. You are canceled in Jesus' name. Amen. For one and all, everyone to the front, to the middle, to the back, everywhere, everyone hearing the sound of my voice now, confirm their healing. Amen. Confirm the miracle. Amen. And Lord, I pray as we open our eyes, we'll see it's done. Amen. My brother, it's done. Amen. Dear sister, it's done. Amen. You are healed. Amen. You are free. Amen. You are delivered. Amen. And those infirmities will never come back again. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.